So Paul's argument, faith is the foundation of our relationship to God. God's promise and God's law were mutually exclusive. We see this in the text, and we see it played out throughout Scripture, that God has a promise and God has the law, and they are mutually exclusive. Look what Paul writes in Galatians 3, 6 through 7, 9 and 14. Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous. Why? Because of his faith. The real children of Abraham, then, are those who put their faith in God. All who put their faith in Christ share the same blessings Abraham received because of his faith. You see that word again? Faith, faith, faith. Through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he promised to Abraham, so that we who are believers might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. So God's promise and God's law are mutually exclusive. Paul's connecting what he's saying to Abraham, which is a promise of grace. 430 years later, God gives Moses the law. And so Paul's going to draw this bridge between the law or works and grace and how they're intertwined. And so the first thing we see is God's promise and God's law are mutually exclusive. And God's promise both was and is not dependent on obedience to the law. That God's promise, God's grace, is not dependent upon our obedience to the law. Here's the short clip of why. Because we would all be messed up. Because not a single one of us can keep the law. Not the heart of the law. Actually, not even the fine details of the law. None of us can keep the law fully. And so if our relationship with God was with God was dependent upon us keeping the law, we are all a sad case, because none of us are going to make it. I was saying something to last week and been thinking about this a little bit later on as well. You know, I see all the many places that we see the Ten Commandments posted. And I'm wondering, and I just really want to ask the question, it's like, are we keeping that? Like it's great that we as Christians put things out there about who we are and whose we are. But I want to make sure that we're making a public proclamation as well that says, hey, I am a part of this relationship with God, that's living out this relationship with God. And that's why the law is important to us. And so the second part of this is, again, we see that God's promise was not dependent on obedience to the law. Galatians 3:22, we receive God's promise of freedom only by believing in Christ Jesus. So from Abraham on, their relationship with God has and always will be based on faith, on this relationship that we have with God, not based on the law. So the question, of course, that comes up is, why did God give the law if Abraham's covenant was adequate? Why, in other words, do we have the law? I mean, Paul even like phrases it in there, right? In chapter 3, verse 19, he says, why then was the law given? I think that's a great question, isn't it? Why was the law given? But he answers it. He says, it was given alongside the promise to show people their sin. Why did God give the law to Moses? So the people could see how sinful they are. And so the purpose of the law really was twofold. One, it was to reveal sin. It was to show us what we were doing wrong. It was to show us the places that was hindering us in a relationship with God, whether it was the Ten Commandments or all the other laws that were added on top of those. God revealed those to the people so that they might see the places that they're falling short, so that they might see the places that are sin in their lives that are separating them from God. Paul tells us in Romans 3:20, no one can be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. So it's kind of like a good news, bad news, right? I mean, the good news, it shows us where we're sinning. The bad news is, like, it really shows us where we're sinning. And the places in our lives that have yet to be redeemed or transformed by the love of God so that we might become less sinful. So Paul is telling his audience and he's telling us, okay, God has given us this law to reveal our sinfulness, to reveal the places where we're separated from God. But he also goes so far to say, until Christ comes, until Christ comes. And again, what Paul masterfully does is he connects what he's saying with the Old Testament. and connects it with the promise that God has given to Abraham and his descendants. He says from Galatians 3, 16 and 19, God gave the promises to Abraham and his child. And notice that the scripture doesn't say to his children, as if it meant many descendants. Rather, it says to his child. And that, of course, means Christ. But the law was designed to last only until the coming of the child who was promised. And so again, that kind of begs the second part of the question. So does the law have a function today? What is the function of the law for you and for me? What is the function of the law for God's people? Paul poses this question in Galatians 3, 21 and 22. Is there a conflict then between God's law and God's promises? Absolutely not. If the law could give us new life, then we could be made right with God by obeying it. But the scriptures declare that we are all prisoners of sin. So we receive God's promise of freedom only by believing in Jesus. We receive God's promise of freedom by believing in Jesus. Again, understanding that it's all based on and built on faith being the foundation of our relationship with God. So the function of the law for us today is it's got kind of a twofold function. The first is the law is our guard, or you might refer to it as our guardian, that it protects us. It protected us until the full coming of Christ. Paul says in Galatians 3, 23, before the way of faith in Christ was available to us, we were placed under guard by the law. We were kept in protective custody, so to speak, until the way of faith was revealed. I stopped at Adrian and Company this morning to get my usual Sunday morning donut that gets me started off on the right footing. So I got some sugar infused into my system. And one of the owners there, Myra, she's a dear, sweet lady, and she talks to me a lot. And we talk, and she's like, I walk in, and she's like, well, hey, Rev. I'm like, hey, Myra, how are you doing? And she's like, so what are you preaching on today? And I said, I'm talking about grace. I'm talking about grace versus the law. And she's like, really? What do you have for me? I'm like, oh, summarize it. One point. T-shirt. What could I say? Summarize what I wanted to say. I said, we live out the law through grace. She's like, oh, I'll write that one down. Good. I'll unpack it later. And so this idea is that the law acts as our guard. So do you remember, think back to the times where you would like go to Kings Island or Six Flags or whatever your favorite park was. Remember those Model T cars that you got to ride in? And as a kid, you thought it was so cool because you got to steer and you thought that you were like super really driving. But there was this track. And so you got to steer about like this. And if you held on to it, you actually could straddle that line and you could stop from hitting it. But what did that guardrail do? It kept us from going off the side, right? That every parent's going, yeah, you can drive. Really? You're like, yeah, go for it. You know, all the while we're knowing we got a guardrail, right? That's going to protect us. Why are there guardrails on the highway? To protect us, right? To keep us from going into the danger zone. Well, that's what the law does. It gives us, it's a guardrail for us. It gives us a clear marking. You might just think of it as, it's the way that God's saying danger, danger. But God's going to give us the law so that we know how to begin having this relationship with God. And so he's going to give us this rail that is what he says to his audience is, that protected you until the time of Christ. Now, it's still valuable for us today because the law continues to do that. It continues to be our guide, so to speak, our guard that keeps us from straying too far because we have something that's easier for us to look at. But he also says here that the law is our tutor. In other words, law is our teacher or our instructor. Again, think about this, parents with your kids. When we're teaching them what to do, do we immediately say to our two-year-olds, well, why don't you just think about how you should do that? We say, okay, you need to do this, and then this, and then this, and then this. And then as they get older, what do you get to do? Well, what do you think? Because you've already built in a foundation then. You already began to teach them, to tutor them about what it was like. And again, that's one of the graceful things that we see about God. If God would have immediately said to Abraham, hey, just believe, which he does, but moves to Moses, and he says, okay, all you gotta do is believe, but he didn't give us a foundation for that, then we'd be saying, so what does that mean? How do we do that? What does that look like? And so God gives him some clear parameters, some clear teaching about what does it look like to begin to have this relationship with God. And so the law is our tutor. Paul writes in Galatians 3:24, let me put it another way. The law was our guardian until Christ came. It protected, or again, another word is tutored. It protected us until we could be made right with God through faith in him. And so the function of the law is still good. It serves as a guard or a guide for us. It serves as a tutor for us so that we can begin to understand what this relationship with God, because here is ultimately God's desire. God's ultimate desire for the Galatians, his ultimate desire for the early church, his ultimate desire for us, his ultimate desire for all people is to understand that faith is the response that God wants for us to know that we're accepted by him. Faith, belief, trust in him. See, again, the problem is, and what he was trying to talk to his people about, was that if you're trying to do this with works, you're never gonna know when you measure up. You're never gonna know, like, did I ever cross the threshold of, oh, okay, I've worked enough? Because ultimately, the reality is we can never work enough because God is perfect. And so we, as we talked about a few weeks ago, we only get to achieve that because we are made perfect in Christ. And so Paul wants his people to understand, this is about faith. I almost think that Paul would say to his people is, hey, you just need to know this is easier. It really is easier. Because it's about you making the decision to put your faith and hope and trust in Jesus, not by works of the law. Because that's where you're going to find assurance of this relationship with God. So God's desire for us as faith is the response God wants us, for us to be accepted by him as we live in obedience. Again, the law is still a good thing. It still has a function. So we are still supposed to live in obedience to God, to understand who God is and how we're supposed to live in that relationship with him, and to have life in the Holy Spirit. In other words, it's kind of transcending this idea. When Jesus was asked, what is the most important command? Jesus said, here it is. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. The law gives us a foundational understanding of what that looks like, but grace gives us the ability to live that out. To actually live our lives in such a way as we say, as we are submitting ourselves to the lordship and leadership of God, and saying, okay, I want to live for an audience of one. Not my will, but yours be done, oh God. That I live this life as a life of faith, trusting and believing in Jesus, as I live in obedience to and life in the Spirit of God. In other words, that we are always saying, Holy Spirit, what is it that you want me to do? How do you want me to live? What is my response? What is the direction you have for me? Continually surrendering ourselves to the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I think I shared with you a couple weeks ago, I was meeting with one of my mentors, and we were just talking about prayer, and we were talking about a relationship with God, and he said, hey, George, I want to encourage you to do something. I want to encourage you to kind of change your language just a little bit. That when you're praying, use the Holy Spirit more. Because he's the third person of the Trinity. He is the one that Jesus promised to send to be with us. So he abides with us. He takes residence with us. That we have this life of being filled with the Holy Spirit. He said, doesn't it make sense that we pray and that we ask the Holy Spirit to be our guide? That we ask the Holy Spirit to lead us, to direct us, to empower us, to reveal his guide for our lives. And so Paul summarizes that in Galatians 5:16. He says, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. In other words, he is saying, if you really let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, you're going to keep all those laws in a sense. that you're going to have the right relationship with God, because you're going to say, Holy Spirit, what is it that you want me to do? How do you want me to lead my lives? And so I just have a question that I want you to ponder today and in the next few days as you're just maybe working through or thinking through some of the things in that we were talking about this morning. Where is it in your life that maybe you have yet to yield to and to be obedient to the Holy Spirit in your life? You know, if we are supposed to let the Holy Spirit guide our lives, in other words, it's not my will but yours, oh God. It's not what I want, but what do you want? What are those areas of your life that you have yet to yield to what God wants you to do, what God might want you to become, what God might want you to be, what God might want you to say, how God might want you to live? Are you placing that in all things under the lordship and leadership of God, so that you and I might truly become the people that God created us to be? See, Scripture's really clear. It tells us that we were all created on purpose. There's not a single one of us who ever has been or ever will be that's an accident. God created us intentionally. He knit us together in our mother's wombs. And so we were all created on purpose, because God has amazing things for us to do. And we discover those things as we place ourselves and position ourselves under the lordship and leadership of Christ, His Holy Spirit that's with us. So again, I ask you the question, what is it in your life that you have yet to yield to, control over to the Holy Spirit in your life? See, what Paul is going to continue to reveal to the Galatians, and actually with all of his other letters as well, is the more you do that, the more you find yourself in harmony with and in obedience to God's will for your life. So it'd be worth some time to reflect. Where is it in your life that you have yet to reveal? Where is it in your life that you have yet to live in obedience to and life in the Spirit?